Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
I'm hyped.
I'm hyped.
Get it. Woo! I ain't going to sleep tonight. Talk like 2 hours. Woo! I'm staying up, watching everything. Watching everyone
carried away.
Rob gets carried away whenever his team wins. How come I can't get carried away? I'm just saying.
It's still just 2-2 now. I mean, you know, best of three now.
It is. I'm not like saying we won the championship. I'm just saying, just definitely, totally unexpected.
Well,
definitely happy to be
representing. If you stay up all night, that's not like you won the championship. Don't do that. Now. I mean, I want you to be happy.
I'm
don't
just
going to
sit for another hour, is what I'm going to say, because I'm probably going to go to bed about 12:31, honestly. But, you know, I'm not going to, like, stay up to, like, 4 o'clock in the morning. Right? I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm
like,
that
on,
crazy. It's all good. I'm definitely a little bit more smarter than that. But no, just really excited about tonight, gentlemen. Definitely have a lot of things to discuss. I think, Curtis, did you pop in? Or I want to make sure. We'll get you talking soon. Just all that good jazz too. So we're definitely excited to have you on, because we're going to talk about a lot of things as far as some Portland talk with Dame Lillard and all that fun jazz. But before we do so, gentlemen, we are wrapping up the month of June, which is crazy to say. Happy Juneteenth, if you will, who's celebrating independence and all that fun stuff. And before we do that, I see the fellows here as always. So let's check in. JQ, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain. Got a week off from baseball, having to work two jobs, same day. So trying to chill out, be like Rob, you know, go to the gym, work on this beer belly. I figured I'd throw this Cal Ripken on for y'all today, switch it up a little bit, go with the Iron Man, give me a little love.
Classic. Gave you some
good
motivation
stuff
at the gym, huh?
Man, I got to get back to it.
That means you can't miss no days if you're wearing a Cal Ripken jersey.
Hey, look, I don't know about all that now. Jesus.
Can't miss no days or drink alcohol, apparently, in Rob's world.
Yeah.
It's all good.
No days off.
Well, I definitely don't lose that battle.
He's like, I'm definitely going to lose that battle. Rob Porter's
sports, I drink right
the
now.
Giants, if you will. You got a drink right now? I'm mad at you. Rob Porter, how you feeling, sir?
Hey, man, doing great, man. You know, just got finished watching the game. Obviously, very impressive win by the Atlanta Hawks tonight. Dre definitely should be proud. Absolutely, man. Those guys came out blazing. They got it done on the defensive end. They were shooting the ball extremely well. And, hey, you know, and obviously the icing on the cake for the Hawks was when Giannis went out of the game too. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. If he's not healthy enough to play the rest of this series, Hawks got a really good chance of being in the NBA Finals.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
It's crazy how
I don't know if anybody would have thought that before the season started.
Not nobody outside of the metro line area.
And, you know, I know
I need to go ahead and make
the beginning of the season, you know, all of these moves take the Hawks. I think we said anywhere between 5 and 7 seed. And they ended up right at the number 5 seed. And shucks, they've just been playing lights out in the playoffs.
We didn't predict the start wasn't that great. I liked the moves that we made with Bogdanovich and Gallinari. I like a lot of the depth moves, and it's, you know, obviously losing Hunter was huge, and seeing Cam get his Cam Reddish kind of come back and get some confidence was pretty surprising, because, you know, Nate was like, he hadn't played in like 4 months, so really wasn't sure what to expect out of him. But just the team play has been great, and again, you know, talking about the great news of seeing kind of Trey elevate his game too. So just everything has kind of like worked out perfectly, and the good dude is still young. He's only 22. That's the scary thing. So
they're gonna be a deep young team when they all healthy. When you talk about DeAndre Hunter and getting those guys back, Cam Reddish,
right?
But they're gonna be a very deep young team.
We still need to
see what they do with John Collins.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about that too, guys. And, yeah, I got to check in with Curtis. But I'm curious because I don't think he's a max player by any means. And he's gonna probably kicking himself for not signing that $90 million deal. But, we need a solid number two, guys, you know, whether that's a trade and, you know, Bradley Beal or Spencer Dinwiddie or Don. I mean, I'm kind of looking at the depth of the Hawks now. We still need some pieces, if you will, to compete, man. So we'll definitely get into that as well. Let me check in with Curtis real quick. Curtis, how are you doing this evening, sir?
I've been trying to hang in there. My voice is a little weak, but I'll yell in this phone, and hopefully you guys can hear me. And that would be a good thing.
We can hear you.
And it's a good thing.
Gotcha. So we can hear you. We'll definitely give you some time to chime in because, with less people talking and chatting, we'll get a chance to definitely talk about some moves that are actually happening too. So we'll give you your time, and let's kind of get into this. Let's throw out the numbers really quickly. As always, 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter, at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And obviously, I'm going to speed through this. We're on Facebook. Rob, thank you again for posting the updated mock draft. And we'll talk about some winners and losers as far as what's going on with the draft combine and all of that good jazz. But let's jump right into it, gentlemen. We'll go around the room as always. Just a quick update on the Clippers and Suns series, because I'm sure a couple days ago we pretty much thought that the Suns had tied it up. But the Clippers are showing an amazing resolve, if you will. They're not going away. And I'll let kind of Rob talk about that and JQ, and then we'll kind of, again, go back around and see how that plays out for sure. So go ahead.
I know Gary is not on tonight, but the Clipper and Paul George got to be just like a gnat flying around Gary's head right about now, right? That just they just won't that gnat just won't go away, right?
For real, thank you.
even without Kawhi Leonard, man, when you really do a deep dive in this series. Phoenix is lucky to win two of these games. When you look at game two, Paul George missed those two free throws, and Phoenix had to get an alley hoop at the end to win. And then the third game that he won, the Clippers just shot atrocious in that fourth quarter in that game. So did the Suns, by the way, and they just held on to win.
Oh yeah,
and obviously, Phoenix still has the advantage in this series, up 3-2, but the Clippers are
so far.
They could very easily. And I don't know what's the situation on Kawhi, if he's going to come back this year in the playoffs or not. But if the Clippers keep hanging on until Kawhi comes back, if Kawhi comes back, they're going to be the obvious favorite to win the championship. There's no doubt about it. When you look out where they're playing it defensively, when you look at the way Reggie Jackson is playing right now. Paul George is playing right now. Patrick Beverley has been phenomenal on the defensive end, too. He's been flat-out outstanding. And this Clippers team is not out of it. I expect them to win game six and send this to a seven-game series in Phoenix. I really do. And then we'll see what happens in game seven. But this Clippers team is not out of it. Like I said, if there's any hope of Kawhi coming back and they're able to hang on, man, they're the obvious favorite to win a championship, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I got reservations about him coming back. And the reason why I say that is when you come to the game but you don't sit on the bench with the team and nobody ever even sees you stand up or get up and move in that box, that leads me to believe that he's not moving real well and he don't want nobody to see the fact that he's not moving real well. Because if you're close or you're only a couple games away, you come down there and you do what Chris Paul was unable to do, but he's facing time them as soon as they get off the court talking to him. Kawhi is up top, barely moving. I think he just doesn't want the world to know how hurt he is, but he wants to be seen at the game, you know, supporting his teammates. So I've got reservations about Kawhi coming back in his playoffs.
Yeah.
But, you know, we killed Paul George numerous times on this program. So you got to give him a lot of love because he was flat out ridiculous in that second half yesterday in that game. Him and Reggie Jackson went, you know, you got 41 from Paul, 33, I think, from Jackson. And quietly, you got Morris, who kept them afloat in that game. He went for 20 first half points. And Boogie, I think, had like 14 points. So they got a real collective team effort, you know, scoring the basketball in that game. But Paul George just was not to be denied. Like I said, Reggie Jackson hit some big shots. I'm with you, Rob. I think Phoenix is definitely feeling it, not trying to get a young team to go on the road and close out. When you see what's happening with Paul George, they just don't have an answer for him defensively when he gets it going. They don't have anybody to put on to slow him down. And if I'm Monty Williams, I'm also looking at it from games one, you know, two, when Chris Paul wasn't there. Cameron Payne was a flat-out problem for anybody. He was a problem for Paul George. He was a problem for Patrick Beverley. I know Chris Paul is Chris Paul. But at some point, you got to say Chris Paul, when he comes off that high pick and roll, does not have that ability to get to the rim like Cameron Payne does. So they may have to talk about flip-flopping, you know, some of those minutes a little bit. And I know it's a blasphemy to say that because it's campaign. He's not in that stratosphere that Chris Paul is. But in this series, what's happening right now, Chris Paul can't turn the corner on Paul George or Patrick Beverley like Cameron Payne showed that he could. So if Cameron Payne's ankle is anywhere close to 100%, if I'm Monty, I'm thinking about going back to what was working so well in those first two games. And that was Cameron Payne on that high pick and roll, taking some of that pressure off of Booker and then let Ayton be a rim runner because Ayton is blossoming before our eyes. And they were lethal on that high pick and roll in the beginning of the series. So just some nuggets from me. But, yeah, you got to give Paul George all the credit in the world. He was playoff P, when you trade three or four first-round picks and give him a max contract, that's what you're expecting to get from your superstar, especially when you're down your other superstar. So I would give him a ton of credit. Let's see if he can do that again in game six.
What you got, Curtis?
Well, I want to say if this boy is more consistent at his free throws, believe it or not, I believe this series would be over.
Mm-hmm.
Paul George,
sure.
And we talked about it earlier, it is a maddening thing for me to see pro basketball players shoot bad percentages on a free throw. Nobody guarding you. You don't have nothing in your way to get that thing out of your way so you can kill people at the free throw line and win a bunch of games. I give them credit for two of the losses because of the free throws, and I give them credit for two of the wins because of his play. This boy's got to hit three throws. He's got to for them to win this series. I don't think they're going to be able to beat him three in a row, though, unless their superstar comes out. But he's
Yeah.
Him.
Yeah.
You know, as exciting as a lot of these games have been, it's really disappointing to see the number of injuries in this playoffs. So now you look at Trae Young, you look at Giannis, you look at Kawhi Leonard, and then obviously Chris Paul has missed a couple of games with a positive COVID testing too. Obviously, you know, you can't control injuries, of course, in a sport like this, but that's been the one discouragement. We're not seeing a lot of these teams at their full strength. Would have probably made it even more exciting. So it's really, you know, we don't know if it's because of, you know, the shortened off season or not, like LeBron was talking about, but the injuries to the star players have been very discouraging.
Yeah, that's tough. That's a tough thing to definitely, and that's a good call because it seems like before, like I guess in the pre-Michael Jordan era, we didn't have as many, and it definitely felt like those games were more physical too, so it's kind of a great point too. I do think in those times they definitely used their bench a little bit more too as well, so again, I'm not sure if that was something to do as well. Lou, I don't know if you have anything else to add. I know Lou was kind of chiming in about definitely the way and missed free throws and little things like that too, but it's interesting.
Well, that'll kill you every time. If you miss three throws in a close game towards the end, that's going to come back to bite you.
Yep, Rob, you're on it too. If Paul George hits those, you know, free throws, it's a different game. And also, you know, the Elliott, there's a couple things that happen too as well too. I'm going to throw this to Curtis really quickly. Curtis, what's your thoughts? Do you think Dame Lillard is going to stay in Portland? There's been some talk about the hiring, the controversial hiring of Chauncey Billups, and there's been some situations with some rumors about you know, some sexual unfortunate misconduct, and that's definitely kind of soured the hiring, and then kind of like, you know, Dame is getting some pushback as well. So do you think that affects him, or you think he's kind of sick of it, or what do you say, what's happening on the side of Portland, Curtis?
Well, what I want to say is everything is true on the internet, and this started on the internet, and it's a mess, but there's no conviction. So what do you got if you don't have any conviction? Shut your mouth. And that's all they got to say. Show me your convincing and set your mouth. Now, Damian and this coach have got to get along, which I expect they will. And the Blazers got a brainstorm. They need people here to help this man out to be the superstar that he is. That's their only mission. Let's get in the finals. What do we need to do that? That's their only mission. And they brought a coach in that's been in finals and won them. So what do you know? What do you know? What do you know to help Damian do the same thing? That's what it's all about.
That's tough because you thought they had a lot of help, too, with, you know, a lot of the moves that they made, you know. But, you know, maybe it is coaching, too. Yeah, go ahead. I'll let you go ahead and talk to that, JQ.
Well, I mean, to this piece, yeah, you're talking about for the talk, something that happened in 1997 on No Conviction. You know, talking about 24 years ago, we're just in this age where everybody wants to go dig up anything about everybody and go nuts. And, you know, if he did it, you know, shame on him for sure. But without any conviction, and 24 years later, it's like, so if you're never allowed to work again, you should only be allowed to work to a certain level. So what is this conviction for something he never got convicted for that happened 24 years ago? So I'm with you on that. But even outside of that, if I'm Portland, I think you just kind of have to take a step back and breathe and make sure you keep talking to Dame. But I would be under no rush to trade somebody that has 3 years of club control left, and the fourth year after that is a player option. So, and it's like a player option for a crazy amount of money. So it's not like he can walk away in the next offseason and got some kind of pressure to deal him. If I'm Portland and I've got a generational player and I really believe that Damian Lillard is a generational player, I'm going to do everything in my power to make him happy, you know, and keep him there outside, you know, within reason, within my power. So if that means breaking it up with CJ and trying to bring another asset or something like that, I'm going to do that. But I went back to what Dan said. He said he was happy with kid or Thomas. In his original statement, but then he came out personally, you know, from the kids. So I don't understand why all of a sudden Chauncey is not part of who we wanted when he named both of those guys initially. So if I'm Portland, I just take a step back, keep the lines of communication open, keep the trade lines open for everybody, not named Dame, and see what happens there. But when you get 3 years left of player control, I'm not necessarily in a rush. If you want James Harden eating this guy, he's about to do that for, like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's got 3 years left, and the fourth year is a player option. He just signed that contract. So they've got a lot of time left on that deal. Yeah, he has zero leverage, unless, like I said, he pulls the same card and he eats his way out of Portland. But I would make him do that 2 years in a row. I wouldn't fall into that trap of, oh, my God, I got to make a deal right now when everybody knows that things are a little hot. Yeah, you know how I am. Trade from a strength of power and not a
position of strength.
If you're doing it right now, same thing with Ben Simmons. You're trading from a stance of weakness. Don't do that. So that's just me if I'm Portland. I'm just going to hang tight and see if I can make a great work with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing of it, I think Dame spoke out of frustration for at the end of the season. And, you know, obviously a player of that caliber and, you know, keep losing in the playoffs year after year after year. I think he made it to the Western Conference Finals 1 year and they got eliminated. That's the furthest he's gotten. obviously you're talking about a star player who's 31 years old. Mm-hmm. How many more years he's got left in his prime? He spoke out of frustration, right? But the more this kind of story kind of settles, it doesn't look like Dame is going to formally ask to be traded. As more and more stories come out, you know, I saw some information on it today too, that it does not look like he's going to actually be traded. He's going to support Billups and try to see what they can do to continue to grow there. But, you know, so it doesn't look like he's going to actually be traded. Like JQ mentioned, he really doesn't have any leverage anyway. So the best thing for him to do is to see what they can do, see what they can build together there. And it looks like all indications are that he will still be with the Trailblazers going into next basketball season as well.
Good call. Appreciate that as well. So, like I said, we'll keep an eye on that. You know, right now Dame is saying the right things, but you do kind of feel the frustration kind of mounting too, and you've got to look at what the Trailblazers are going to try to do to definitely look at the squad too. Is it coaching? You know, we'll see if that's the situation because, you know, him and CJ have been a great 1-2 punch, and then obviously they've added some pieces to the bench to surround him. So, you know, I mean, the West Conference is tough, so we'll see what's going to happen on that front too. So we're moving right along. We're going to talk about the next topic here.
You know.
Yep.
It's, you know, it's chemistry. When you really think about it, as much as I don't like the Trailblazers, when you really look at it, how much different is the personnel on Phoenix and the Clippers versus what you see on Portland's team right now? Now, obviously, the Clippers are healthy. They got Kawhi Leonard, so that's the difference. But when you really look at it, what's the talent disparity of those teams right now? Is it that big? No. So it's about chemistry and coaching, like you mentioned. And, I mean, it obviously goes a long way. Now, like I said, the Clippers are healthy with a Kawhi Leonard. That makes them really formidable. But, you know, when you look at the Suns roster, you look at the Blazers roster, I mean, how much better talent-wise?
Yeah.
I mean, Ayton makes a big difference, right? But how much talent-wise is the difference? I don't think it's that big of a gap.
Yeah.
And, again, to your coaching piece, you talk about that Atlanta Hawks thing, you know, Flounder not even going to make the playoffs, make a coaching change for the Nate Villain. And it looked like a totally different ball team with the same players. So, I mean, you were asking coaching would make that big difference in the pros, and you talk about grown men, it most absolutely can if you get the right hire in there. With the Tyronn Lue, it's what you do on the Clippers when they're back against the ball in every series and finding a way to win. Coaching makes a difference, so that's definitely a good call, Jerry.
Yeah, that's a good segue too, JQ, because, you know, again, I'd be crazy if I told you I think we'd be this far as the Hawks. You know, we knew that we liked the moves, but the fact that the way that Nate has got them playing and, you know, Trey was throwing away some – Trey still throws some crazy shots up, but it seems like he's playing within the system. So you're really actually proud of the coaching job. Even tonight, the way that we were able to play and he was like next man up. And, you know, even though whenever Giannis was in, we were giving him all kinds of trouble, too. So I do think, you know, obviously there's no way Giannis is getting kind of hot in the third quarter. There's no way to predict what happened if he stayed in. But at least from us, we had a puncher's chance, right, which is totally – if you would have told me with Trey out, we were like, I don't know how this is going to come out, you know. So we didn't have a lot of the momentum. But I give the coaching staff credit to get everyone ready to play. And then, obviously, you know, Middleton – he seems to have a good game and a bad game. He doesn't seem to be consistent. Sometimes, you know, he was killing us, you know, games. They're like, man, this is terrible. They had all that momentum going into the game, and they had the ability to kind of get a stranglehold of the series, but everything kind of went our way. So that's why I'm so hyped. Like, oh, my God, did not see this happening at all. And, you know, you don't want to see Giannis hurt by any means, but it is an opportunity. And same thing, you know, gives Trey more time to rest up. If you do need Trey, and this is great for the team, you know, for us to access that we can win without Trey. You need Trey, but just the confidence to say that they were ready to play, too. So I don't know if you want to talk about that as well, too. And Giannis,
I thought you were
going to
be dancing
again,
the whole show, Dre. I'm surprised you're sitting down, man. I thought you were going to be dancing the whole show.
I had to calm down a little bit. I was playing a little outcast and Mucky Bucks, so all good.
Playing that ATL music, huh? Yeah, you got a little Ludacris going. You got a little Outkast going.
That's right.
You
that's, play right.
ATL.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's
right. That's right.
That's right. That's right. That's You know, you mentioned the Chris Middleton piece. There's been games in this playoffs where he's looked just outstanding, right?
Dominating.
You know, especially, yeah. When you look at some of the wins, the games 2 and 3 when Milwaukee won, he was dominant. And then you look back at the last series against the Nets, he had some phenomenal games. And we hadn't seen Middleton put up these kind of numbers in the playoffs in the last few years. And, you know, I know JQ always dogs out that contract he's gotten, but he's had some big games this year. But just like Andre just mentioned, he still does have some ebb and flows, and it seems like Milwaukee marches. You know, Giannis is pretty consistent. He's going to put up 20, 30 some points every night, right? But when Middleton has an elite game, they have looked unbeatable at times in the playoffs this year when he has a great game.
Yeah.
But when he's only scoring 14 and 16 points, when he puts up those kind of duds, then that's when they're a beatable team. But when he's shooting the lights out, man, they're really tough to beat. And he seems like he's the one. He's the one that's going to have to be a big difference maker for them if Giannis comes back. He's going to have to be the one to set him above everyone else.
Yeah, and these flashes is how he hoodwinks them into that contract. You knew where I was headed with that. It's that, and to me, it's the same thing that, you know, I think Atlanta faces with John Collins, where he comes out, he's ultra aggressive, and he's just looking at him like, wow, this dude is on that rise, and he throws a clunker at you, and you're like, I mean, just having a clunker, you have a clunker, and like, you know, when I pay you that kind of money, you see Giannis go down, I need you to elevate your game. And it seems like sometimes, you know, he is the barometer. You're correct, Rob, that when they win, he's generally high 20s, low 30s, you know, over 50% from the three-point line. And when they lose, it's bad. And you're just sitting there like, dude, we can't have that kind of ebb and flow, that those times and those flows for the kind of money you're making, because between him, Giannis, and Drew, you know, they no longer really have any financial responsibility to go out there and really get somebody else, unless somebody just is determined to go play with those three guys and live in the city of Milwaukee. You know what I mean? Like, they can't throw a bunch of money at them because those three guys are taking up a huge amount of the payroll at this point. So I'm not going to pull them as the next superstar 1-2 punch. They have the potential, but I've got to see a lot more consistency out of Chris Middleton. And if you want to be honest, out of Giannis as well, because he's just out there on the perimeter, settles for jumpers, settles for three-pointers. When he's aggressive and attacking the rim, Atlanta has no answer for him down low. When he wants to be down low, just throwing up. I don't know if he gets tired or he gets caught up in the, I want to be a jump shooting big man like all these other guys. When he stays down there and stays in his lane, Atlanta has no answer for him. So I'm with you. I think that Chris Moon was a problem for you. Giannis also has to take a look at the mirror and say, hey, man, if I get any further out of 70 feet, 2 feet shy, somebody can slap the shit out of me every time it happens. You don't stay within 10, 15 feet of that paint, and that paint go to work, you are doing Atlanta a favor.
Yeah. And Giannis, he did not show any aggressiveness in the first half of this game. And, you know, you heard some of the commentators on TNT talk about it at halftime tonight. But he did not show any aggressiveness. And like I said, sometimes it's human nature. Atlanta had a star player not playing. You kind of go in there thinking, oh, man, we got this. We're going to go up 3-1. And Giannis played like that tonight. I mean, he didn't show any aggressiveness, and really, you know, it really hurt the Milwaukee Bucks tonight because their leader didn't show any aggressiveness, and their team didn't show any aggressiveness as well.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
What you got, Curtis?
Yeah, Giannis plays. He reminds me of Shaq in a way. Shaq always.
Oh no.
Yeah, a little angry. Was pushing the ground guys and trying to bounce their heads off the ground. You know, Shaq was, he was mean, and you had to get mean to keep up with him. And there wasn't very many people that could keep up with him. It was fine. Giannis reminds me of that. Old school basketball. And I've been lucky enough to see him play. had a huh. I didn't miss that.
Huh. That's interesting. I'm gonna make 2 points on that because you mentioned it too, Rob, at the halftime show, and they're talking about the Bucks don't have anybody with a killer instinct like a Jordan, like a you know Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. These guys just had a you know I'm gonna step on your neck and I'm just gonna like bear it. Kobe was a great call too, JQ. So they don't have that type of player. Ray Allen's not walking through that door. Glenn Big Dog Robinson ain't walking through that door. You know, the Bucks, they don't have back in the day. So they don't have that type of, you know, again, you have to have this, we're going to just kind of like destroy the Hawks. And like, I'm happy for that. I'm not trying to tell them to do that. But it's just, yeah, but just kind of even Glenn, but Oscar Robinson, we talked about him later on too. But it's just they don't have that killer. They're a good team, but they don't have that next level situation too to kind of like just go ahead and knock them out. But again, not a knock as far as that. And like I said, we'll see what happens. It's definitely going to change the series in a very surprising situation as well too. So we are moving right along, gentlemen. I don't know if you want to talk about the combine, Rob, or the mock draft. You want to talk about Kevin Love being picked for the Olympic team too. That's kind of an interesting pick, if you will, too. So we don't have to talk about that, Rob. You kind of move on too, as JQ is shaking his head over there too. But I definitely want to at least talk to that point as far as what's happening on the mock draft. You and some new winners from the combine as well, Rob.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to grab my notes here.
Yeah, nobody knows why Kevin Love was on that team other than maybe it's going to be the elder statesman.
Other than Kevin Love.
Keep him out of trouble. And so, look, that's all I got. It's not merit-based on player this year. It's not.
Exactly. And I'm listening to Jerry Colangelo's explanation of why he was picked on the team. And it's somehow because we need a big that can stretch the floor. But what about Julius Randle? What about a player like that who proved that he can step out and hit the three-point shot and be physical in the paint as well? You know, why not go with a younger option like that? And that was a head-scratcher for me to pick Kevin. I mean, Kevin Love hadn't been good in like 10 years. And
is there something
last
that we don't know about?
Kevin Love play at a high level.
10 years.
Okay. 10 years.
Not a whole decade, Rob. Like JQ says, 10 years.
It seems like it, doesn't it? it seems like a whole decade ago.
He was putting up some crazy numbers. God. He was averaging like double doubles. Remember back in the day for Minnesota, he was just killing it.
Yeah,
like, well,
I mean, it's been a while. Yeah.
It has been a while. I agree with Rob. It's like this, like you hope, man. Yeah, just you go to Cleveland or to kind of like just fade away. I don't know what happens. Like, interesting situation too.
Yeah.
I mean,
wow.
You got a guy like Julius Randle who proven this year that he can step out and be a stretch big, you know, and a younger player too, and can also have some kind of a physical presence too. And I mean, and there's a few others. I mean, there's that was a head scratcher to me on why Kevin Love got picked to be on that team. But you know, it is what it is, right? but that was certainly
too controversial.
Yeah. All right, we can move on, Rob.
Whatever.
We don't spend forever on that topic. We don't.
I only said something because he was waiting on. He was looking for his notes.
Yeah. That was good.
As far as the mock draft is concerned, same five players at the top. Only change here, got Evan Mobley back up to number two to Houston, the big man from USC. So the same five players there.
They're still going back to that, Rob. I've heard, not cut you off, Rob, I've heard they're still going back and forth with Evan Mobley and Jalen. Jalen Suggs, am I thinking that right?
Jalen Green from the G League.
Yeah, Jalen Green. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like they were going back and forth between that, which was crazy. I heard some. They were kind of some pushback too. So good, Rob. I just wanted to throw that out there.
I mean, yeah, there are a lot of scouts that are really high on Jalen Green. Think he's got a ton of potential. He's a tremendous athlete, great in the open floor. He can defend. Got a great wingspan. All the things that NBA scouts love to look for. But right now, I got him going number three to Cleveland. They got Mobley, the big man from USC, going Houston to number two. Got Scotty Barnes going number six to Oklahoma City. Davion Mitchell, you know, you talk about positionless basketball. I got him going 7 to Golden State, a team that already has some guards. But Davion Mitchell, an elite defender, probably one of the better on-the-ball defenders in this draft here as well. So it'll definitely be interesting to see. Josh Giddey, 6'8 point guard from Australia, is another one to watch. And Jalen Johnson from Duke, who Josh Giddey?
Yeah.
Jalen Johnson is going to be really intriguing here. You know, the last couple of mocks had him in the top 10. Tremendous athlete. He quit on Duke in the midseason, which, you know, I hate Duke, so I wasn't complaining about that. But a tremendous athlete. He really didn't do much at the combine either, so this is going to be a head-scratcher. I got him falling down to 14 right now. He could fall even more. He could really fall down to the 20s, even to the second round. But got him going 14 right now to Golden State. Corey Kispert, if you're looking for a natural shooter in this draft, he's going to be a guy to get. You know, right now I got him going 15 to Washington from Gonzaga. Keon Johnson had the highest vertical leap in NBA combine history.
Crazy.
I had him going 16 to Oklahoma City. So a tremendous athlete there you're going to be looking at. Jared Butler.
How many picks Oklahoma City got?
Say what?
Pick six. I was wondering how many picks Oklahoma City got. They got like 20.
They got 3 in the first, 3 in the second.
Yeah, some crazy like
so.
That.
Right here.
They got a ton of picks. And I got Oklahoma City taking Jared Butler at 18 from Baylor. Hawks, I got them taking Chris Duarte, shooting guard from Oregon at number 20. And the Lakers, I got them taking IU Dosunmu, the shooting guard from Illinois. JQ, you should be very familiar with him from the Big Ten. IU Dosunmu, his specialty is playing in the open floor. He's great in transition and defensive end. Still got some work to do in the shot, but he's tremendous in the open floor. Cam Thomas, shooting guard from LSU, having gone 23 to Houston. Trey Mann, point guard from Florida. Houston is another team got 3 first-round picks, so I have him going to Houston as well at 24. Sharif Cooper from Auburn, have him going 26 to Denver. Dayron Sharpe, athletic, raw big man from North Carolina, have him going 29 to Phoenix. And Jeremiah Robinson Earl, power forward from Villanova, have him going 30 overall to Utah. Some second-round sleepers, Johnny Juzang from UCLA, have him going 31 to Milwaukee. JT Thor from Auburn had a tremendous combine. They have him going 33, Orlando, 6'9", 7'3", wingspan, showed a lot of athleticism at the combine. Miles McBride, he shot the lights out at the combine, point guard, 6'1", from West Virginia. Have him going to the Pels at 34 as well. The rest of it, to all our listeners, you can catch it on our Talking Sports Facebook page.
I tell you what, that fool from Duke won't fall past L.A. at 23, 24. That should stay happening. Anybody from L.A., anybody that's got an upset, from Duke, the opt it out. He won't fall past L.A. L.A. is going to be barbering shopping at that place. If anybody that's got any high upside falls to them, I will be shocked if they don't catch him up. And at least take a look. Cause, I mean, they need
–
they really need people that can shoot. Yeah,
Jeremy Johnson from Duke, Yeah, a lot of concerns with work ethic, the way he – it's going to take somebody to really get him motivated because, obviously, work ethic at Duke was horrible. He quit on the team. And then, you know, really lackadaisical at the combine, too. So not a good sign for him right now. But you're right. You know, Lakers might be that team to take a shot at him. The talent is there.
Yeah, I mean, because they need to they need somebody else that can play make. Obviously, you saw it. They need some shooters that when they can dance around LeBron, maybe, and they need somebody else to take that playmaking duty off of LeBron. So if they find somebody there that's falling a little bit, I think they're one of the few teams hopefully this like LeBron will be that kind of guy that you talk about to mentor and say, hey, do this. But then again, I don't know because that shit ain't working with that other fool, Kyle Kuzma. So
that's crazy.
It seems like he's regressed.
Schroeder and
Kyle Kuzma seems like he's regressed.
J.R. Smith for you.
It ain't no scenes. He has.
Mm-hmm.
He's more worried about the name on the back than the name on the front.
Yeah.
Wow.
By the way, Andre, we saw that. We saw you dozing off a little while ago.
Uh-oh.
I wasn't dozing off.
I was not dozing off.
Come on, man. He's an habitual line stepper, bro. Come on, man. I was not dozing off. Man. Hey, so let's talk about, I was going to ask you about some winners and losers here, but for the combine.
Oh, yeah,
now,
I did have that, too.
I want to, absolutely. Before we could talk about, if you want to hold on that, I definitely want to get into some interesting draft talk too with the Warriors. Definitely thinking about moving James Wiseman, a number 7 pick, for Patrick Siakam, and there's also some rumors that they're trying to figure out what's happening with the contract, because I think Siakam's making a pretty good amount. I think he's making 120 or something like that, but they're talking about moving him for the Warriors and Andrew Wiggins to send him back to Canada, because obviously he may be a little more happier going back home. And I didn't realize how young Wiggins was playing forever. He's still 26 years old. He's still a pretty young player. Maybe the pressure of Golden State is too much for him. He can go back to Toronto, kind of find his home, and then maybe him and Wiseman can grow, and then they can get some more young picks. But I think that's a good move. And if you're looking at the Warriors, you get like a guy that checks the boxes. He can create his own shot. He can guard anything from 2 to 5. He's not that great of a 3-point shooter, but he doesn't have to worry about being a 3-point shooter, obviously, with Steph and with Clay coming back. But it just seems like it's a good pick too. And if you're the Warriors, Rob, you think everyone can comment. You're not giving up on Wiseman. You're just kind of thinking, hey, we still need kind of an immediate impact, if you will, too. So that's just kind of an interesting pick, an option for
Draymond.
Well. Yeah, go ahead.
When you saw Draymond on TNT, he was like, I forget what team he was talking about. He was like, you have these things with veterans, and the rookies just aren't prepared to help them right now. And then not that the rookies are bad players, but I said, I was like, ooh, that sounds like a shot at Wiseman. So when I hear that, I think, unless they can't get what they want, I think that's exactly what they're looking to do. Because they have a window. And they saw Curry come back and say, okay, our window is still open. We get Clay back, we get Draymond back, and we go get a fourth player with them that props that window up just a little bit more, as opposed to trying to feed these rookies into these roles and saying, okay, come April, May, or more importantly for us, June, will they be ready to step into these roles to help us do what we want to do? Yeah. So I wanted to hear what you wanted to say on that, because if I'm Golden State with those two picks and Wiseman showing flashes, I feel like I will be in that market too to try to find me a veteran who wants out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And hey, if Toronto is willing to agree to that trade, that's a win for Golden State. If you take Andrew Wiggins, Wiseman, and the 7th pick for Pascal Siakam, I know it's the 3-for-1, but that is a win for Golden State right there. If you get Pascal Siakam on that team,
player.
He can play the 5, he can play the 4, he can play the 3, he can defend at a high level, he can
just
shoot,
everything.
He can rebound. He was a key figure on that championship team with Toronto a few years ago. He was the second best player on that team. Mm-hmm. And actually, not this year. Obviously Toronto played in Tampa, right here in Tampa this past year. But last year, man, he took that team without really another star on it to the second round of the playoffs in the bubble. Mm-hmm. So, he did a phenomenal job, too. So, obviously, if Toronto agrees to that trade now, shucks, I don't want to see teams helping out Golden State. That seemed like that's what they would be doing. But that is a win for Golden State if Toronto agrees to make that deal, in my opinion.
But you're getting Wiseman, who's a top 3 pick. You're giving them 7. If I'm Toronto, I'm asking for both of them this year.
And they got number 4 pick too, right? They're number 4, right?
Yeah,
number
so 14. It's not as lopsided as you're making it out to be.
Toronto has
Wiseman
number 4
was
pick. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but Wiseman was a consistent top 3 pick last year, so you're getting a top 3 pick on 2 years removed from that. This one this year, Wiggins can make play better. Isn't Wiggins from Toronto? He's somewhere from the net.
He's from Canada.
So, it's not as lopsided as you're making it. I think if you're off to Toronto, I think you've noticed that now that your window is shut. Kyle Lowry's probably leaving. You overpaid VanVleet. I don't care what anybody says. You overpaid that dude. I like him, but that was stupid. So now you got him in Siakam. What are they going to do with the Nets and the Celtics and the Hawks, you know, and the Bucks? What are they going to do in the Eastern Conference? If Ron looks back and says, maybe we get underneath this contract because we ain't going nowhere. We might make the 8th or 17th to play in, and then we're going to get bounced if we're paying him that kind of money just when we know what our feeling is given what everything else is happening. So I can see that.
Yep.
Curtis?
Yeah. I'm here. Toronto. And what was the question?
No, we're just talking about the picks between, you know, the thoughts with Golden State moving, possibly moving for Siakam, and then just anything else, you know, obviously if Toronto's going to make a comeback on that. So that's all.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about a little baseball there, but I'm glad to see you're not.
That's okay.
What I want to talk about, Jerry's near both of you guys. And before he comes back up here, I hope Jerry can break away and come and see Rob in Tampa and you in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Maybe he can lay over in Atlanta and long enough to try to see you guys. And that would be a really good thing.
Sure.
And
yeah. We're still trying to hold the dream of getting together one day, doing it in person one day. We'll hope that dream, hopefully we can make that happen with everything opening up for sure.
Absolutely. I'm down.
Yep. We had an initial lunch meeting, which was really good, and we're going to keep that going, too. So we can't wait to make it happen for the whole Blog Talk Radio staff for sure. I know you're a little further out, you know, so we'll keep it going for sure. But we will definitely make that happen. I don't know if you had anything to add to that, Lou, before we kind of talk. I'm going to open it up for the last topics, if you will, because we got about 10 minutes left in the show. I was going to talk briefly just regarding the draft stuff, and I'm excited because selfishly, as I'm looking at my Hawks, like, you know, free agents, I'm like, maybe we can get like a Spencer Dinwiddie or something like that, and he's a free agent because we need a number two. L.A.? Oh, he's trying to get me L.A.?
He's from L.A., and I'll report for it. He wants you to go back to L.A.
Is he from L.A.? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Okay. Well,
I was thinking, like,
you know,
like,
I was thinking, right, he's on that, but I'm like, all right. That's interesting because he's from L.A., huh? I did not realize that. Okay.
Well, because it comes up in my feed, right? I didn't either until I read that, you know, I was like, how the hell we going to get him? And it was like, well, if he wants to come back home, so, you know, he wants to be to go to the Clippers or the Lakers if he could. But he also wants to make money, so we'll see. But
that's why he opted out, obviously. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Did not realize that. Well, there goes Andre's one dream because I've got my five somewhat like crazy, like Bradley Beal may be crazy. I'm like, I got to find somebody that's you know, if I'm not giving up like everything for this guy, you know, hopefully, you know, that's a situation that, you know, he may want
to
leave or whatever.
You would have to give up a ton to get Bradley Beal, bro. Half the league will be in on the Bradley Beal. You would have to give up a ton. Unless you just my boot bank is in Atlanta, and I want to go to Atlanta. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying he's one of those things that everybody wants in on if he comes available. So that's, you know, I don't know what Washington is waiting on. It's the same thing with Toronto.
You know,
what are you going to do?
They fired their coach, so that's the thing, too. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Make no damn difference. Sorry.
What I'm saying is, like,
Washington,
you still had your guy in GM, so, too. Go ahead.
I'd be surprised if Washington make a run at somebody to try to add to Westbrook and Beal as opposed to them, you know, trading Beal, too. And so you got to keep that in mind, too. They get a new coach. They're trying to find somebody that'll be marketable as well. And so don't be surprised. I mean, that's an attractive market, too. Definitely don't be surprised if Washington try to see if they can make a run with adding, especially after they just made it to the playoffs. Obviously, they didn't go far in the playoffs, but they're at least a team that made it, and maybe if they can find another piece, they may feel like they can make a run at it, too. So don't be surprised if them giving up on Bradley Beal, but as opposed to them giving up Bradley Beal, they're probably going to make a run at another player.
I just don't like the rest of that Washington roster outside of Westbrook. And
I don't either.
I don't either. That, you know what I mean? Like, when you see these guys like a Terrence Mann and a Reggie Jackson, like, I just don't feel like they have those guys that you go bring. Like, oh, damn, I didn't even know about this dude. I mean, Hachimura has shown me flashes, but I'm not really sold on him yet. I can see it from Gonzaga. I just don't know if that roster, if you get a third one, if that roster 4 through 15, you know, maybe they go from the playing game to 6. But would they be able to deal with those heavy hitters, you know?
Danny Gaffer.
Yeah, I don't know. I just we'll hear what you're saying. DMV is a good market. It's not a terrible place to go play basketball and live. You know what I mean? That DC metro area. I just don't know if that third person moves the needle into what the East has become in the top heavy of something.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah, like I said, just some interesting, you know, like I said, just we're kind of looking at the off season. And kind of how we can improve. Because like I said, for us, I know I'm going to ride this wave as long as I can, but I'm still thinking, okay, we're not – if we win a championship, something just happens, that's crazy. Like, oh,
you're
man.
About the offseason,
but
y'all still competing for a title.
We're competing. Like literally, this happened before the game tonight. Because I was thinking, man, we got to have – because the way that Boogie was playing, like, man, this guy has not been – playing good. We don't have a solid number two. You know, we're kind of young. So I'm like, okay, how do? And if that happens, I'm like, okay. You know, so let's see how this plays out. So it was just what I was thinking in my when I had some notes written down as far as you know what I was thinking as far as the Hawks. But now it's still anyone's game. But I still think we're still not a complete team for sure. But you know, it's I'm gonna ride the wave as much as I can. You know, because this is gravy, if you will.
I told you, and nothing I keep saying disproves my theory about Atlanta. These dudes do not want to play in Atlanta because they got all these side chicks and boot things here. They don't want to live in the same city where these side chicks are. There is no reason, as a black man, make as much money as they make to live in the southeast where houses and the price of women is so much cheaper than everywhere else. Why Atlanta can't get free agents to come here? I've never understood
that. Oh my God!
The DC is the same thing. DC is chocolate city.
Come on, man!
And that might be another reason why people ain't going there. DC is like, I want to go visit. I don't want
to. Magic City can only do so much, man. Why JQ? Why you
like
bring that
Nas
up, man? Come on, man.
Dude, I have always felt that. I live here. You can the cost of living here is so much cheaper than in LA and New York, DC. Anywhere else, right? You know, everything comes through here, all the shows, all the tours. Like, for what you pay for this much of a house, you get this much of a house here. As a millionaire, why would you not, if you get you and another dude to come play here, why would you not want to? And then it's basically that a house, for whatever reason, cannot get superstars to come to a predominantly black city where black dudes make a ton of money, have a ton of power. And I'm telling you, it's a chance, bro. They just... Hey, I got this chick here. I do not want to be at Lenox and run into her with my woman. No, thank you. I am not moving to Atlanta to play for the Hawks.
This guy is putting some serious theories over here. No, but maybe they didn't want to be the main superstar, man. Maybe they just want that pressure. So, you know, let's kind of tie that.
They team up all the time to go anywhere else. They team up all the time.
I'm just trying to figure it out, man. You know, besides the side chick theory number one over there, but it's all good. we got literally 7 minutes for the show. This is the thing. Like I said, I'm just happy for Trey getting that superstar status. I can't wait to whenever we get guards to say, because again, he's actually making it really cool to be a small guard again. Because like I said, we can't teach size. And nowadays, we'll be able to say, you know, a guy that size can actually impact the game. It's going to do wonders for the next couple guards that are coming out, too, that they can actually make an impact hitting floaters, being that four-level scorer. I think it's great for the future of the NBA, too. You know, if you're a young, small guard, it kind of brings back the days of the Isaiah Thomas. Like, you can control the game at a small player, too. So that's just – I think it's fantastic, if you will, too. So there's a couple of other topics. I will throw it out to you guys to kind of talk about anything you want to talk about. and we will wrap it up soon. We'll let Curtis talk about that as well, too. So we'll let you, JQ, Rob, and Curtis, and we'll wrap up the show after that, too. So go ahead, JQ, anything you want to talk about, man?
So I'm going to go off of this one, only because I was on the ESPN site looking at the Red score, and apparently Trevor Bauer has been hit with a sexual allegation charge here today. Yeah. But the reason why I bring it up is because when you read the story, the lady initiated all of the getting together with Trevor Bauer, but apparently she's also into the rough stuff. And Trevor Bauer said he had text, and phone messages where she said, "I want you to choke me and slap me," and all other kind of wild stuff. So I just wanted to say that for y'all to keep your ears open and be on the radar for that, because that might, unless you pay some money for that to go away, that might get outlanded if you have to turn over those text messages, those voicemails from our baby girl. Apparently, he said he saved them himself when she was asking for the rough stuff. And he said he obliged. I was like, come on, Trevor, that's all
right. Never going to look good, bro. That's no bueno. No bueno. Oh, my God.
Tell me what I read. So that's what I wanted to talk about. I thought you
were. This show went a different direction with that, JQ. Appreciate you, man, doing that, man, for sure.
Talking about
side chicks. Talking about
what else we got going on over here?
I'm trying to get a click up.
I love it. I ain't mad. Man, we got to talk. You got to listen to this episode. Especially the last 5 minutes in. Man.
Hey, I don't have much. Talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Stanley Cup. A very impressive win last night over the Montreal Canadiens. To be quite honest with you, Canadiens don't even look like they belong. And the Lightning was just dominant. And, they actually made the playoffs this year with the worst regular season record, and somehow they made it to the Stanley Cup final. Obviously, they've been getting by with defense, but they don't have the personnel or the talent to compete with the Lightning. And this is one Tampa Bay team I would cheer for to win. I know it's going to be another championship for the city of Tampa Bay. I mean, they are literally on a roll with the way the Rays are playing. I hate to talk about the Bucks, but they did win the championship too. And now the Lightning looks like they're going to roll in the series against the Canadiens. Obviously it's just one game and they're 1-0, but hats off to the Lightning and their dominating performance on last night.
Yeah, they did, and they frustrated the shit out of Montreal. At the end of that game, Montreal was trying to fight everything moving. They had nothing happen.
Give me that puck, man.
That was impressed by Tampa last night. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What you got, Curtis? What you got, Curtis?
But I want to say congratulations to Oregon for being tracked down of the USA and getting their athletes ready for next month. It's actually 3 weeks that we're going to be paying attention to the Olympic Games. Mm-hmm. We've had record-breaking 3 days in a row that the temperatures got higher than anything that ever happened. And Gary saved my life. I'm stuck at home. I have very few ways to go. But he bought me an air conditioner before he left, and that saved my life because I would have died in this house.
Oh, my God.
Portland houses they're not equipped with air conditioners.
My aunt lives in
the
house.
Get that
hot. Sucked me up. Yeah, it's like, what's the first thing? There's no air conditioning? There's no air conditioning. It's crazy. They don't have that. Yeah.
It was hot in Eugene.
Hang in there, buddy. Hang in there,
brother. They got it done. And you did a beautiful job. and the Olympics. I don't know who else is around the world. I expect us to dominate the Olympics, but we'll see.
All right.
10 seconds, Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, that kind of concludes our show on tonight. We thank everyone for tuning in to another great edition. We're talking sports with the 12th man. We're going to take a week off next week. You know, I think all of us are going to take a little quick breather here. We're going to recap and probably be ready for the NBA finals and getting ready for NFL training camps and MLB All-Star Weekend, which I'm sure JQ is going to be there. That's where the high rollers roll. And they end up at the Major League Baseball All-Star Game festivities every single year. So we expect him to be reporting on behalf of 12 Man Sports from All-Star Weekend.
Put this side chick.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, next, we'll be back at you in 2 weeks. That's going to be July 13th. Once again, we'll be back at you in 2 weeks. That's going to be Tuesday, July 13th, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We don't want to miss it. On the West Coast, stay cool. Seattle, keep those ACs running. Portland, keep those ACs running. I know y'all not used to those 100-degree temperatures. That's usually one of my getaway spots in the summer. They're going to come get some cool weather, but it don't look like I need to wait a little while longer for that. But stay cool up there, you all. Good night, people. We'll see y'all on Tuesday, July 13th.
I would be in this raggedy-ass chair because I ain't doing nothing in these COVID times. I catch them in 2022. I ain't going to do this chair. Let's just go past me first.
Man,
whoever's
if it was
is,
in Atlanta, if it was in Atlanta, would you
I don't know if they're coming
away?
Back in 2022. Yeah. I was supposed to be here, yeah, and then they moved to September.
Right.
Y'all got to keep fighting for that voting law to change, man.
Right. Right.
Another conversation. Yeah, that's a whole other conversation. Yep. But, no, like I said, again, appreciate you guys. Yeah, like I said, it's good time to take some time off. Be safe on the 4th. You know, we celebrated Juneteenth as well, so that's what it's all about as well. I'm going to be shouting and dancing if we win on Game 5 as well. Game 6, excuse me. Yeah. Let's keep it going, man.
Your
oh,
boy's
my goodness.
Birthday is
I
on Monday, too.
Show
so your boy some love.
Oh, that's right. Hey.
That's right. That's right. Future. So we're
25 years old.
Yeah, okay.
25, dude. Come on, man.
Oh, man, I heard it wrong, my bad.
A lie, I don't care who knows.
This guy right here. Gentlemen, have a fantastic day until the next week, to the following week. I'm sure we'll be texting and all that fun stuff too, man. So be good. Be safe. Thanks, Curtis. Keep fighting, Curtis.
Absolutely, bro.
Yeah.
Good night, y'all.
Tell me next week, I can be. Get on the computer.
Yep, the following. Yeah, it'll be the next week off. We're off next week, Curtis. It's the following week, yeah. So we're going to take next week off, and we'll jump back on the following. Yeah, so be safe, man.
Okay.
Keep fighting. We appreciate you. All right.
Yeah, be safe, you guys.
Appreciate you as well.
Really
have
good.
A good one, gentlemen.
Yeah,
all right, y'all.
Peace.